Translation. Vali Maharaj was very experienced in universal affairs. When he regained his senses and memory by the grace of Shukracharya, he could understand everything that had happened. Therefore, although he had been defeated, he did not lament. Srila Prabhupada's purport. It is significant that Vali Maharaj is here said to be very experienced. Although defeated, he was not at all sorry, for he knew that nothing can take place without the sanction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since he was a devotee, he accepted his defeat without lamentation. As stated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 2 verse 47, karma nyevadikaroste na ma phaleshu kadachana. Everyone in Krishna consciousness should execute his duty without regard for victory or defeat. One must execute his duty as ordered by Krishna or his representative, the spiritual master. Anukalyena Krishnanu Shilam Bhaktiruttama. First class devotional service, one always abides by the orders and will of Krishna. Demigods and demons are fighting each other, and Indra is having a difficult time. He's killed many demons, but now he's facing Namuchi, one demon named Namuchi. And he threw his famous thunderbolt at Namuchi. He was not able to kill him. And although Indra, with the same thunderbolt, he cuts the wings off mountains that are flying in the air, and it's explained in these verses from 26 to 48, I'm giving a summary. When the mountains previously would fly in the air, mountains had wings and they could fly in the air. Sometimes when they were flying, they would fall on the ground. The mountains would crash, just like sometimes our airplanes also crash. And when the airplanes crash, when the 747 crashes on the ground, it kills everybody in the plane and a handful of people on the ground also. So the same thing, when the mountains were flying, when the mountains had wings and they fell down from the sky, because flying objects often fall down, sometimes birds crash on the ground also, then it would kill so many people. So people would pray to Indra, do something. So Indra would throw his thunderbolts at these mountains and cut their wings off so they would crash and not kill so many people. Crashing where people weren't. So now he's thinking, this thunderbolt of mine is so powerful, but why is it ineffectual in annihilating Namuchi? So then he went into meditation and he prayed for some revelation. And in revelation he got the message that you cannot kill this Namuchi with any weapon, dry weapon or any wet weapon. No water weapon, no fire weapon. Only you can kill this Namuchi with a weapon made of foam. Foam is not dry and it's not wet. Like on milk, when you boil milk, there's some foam comes up when you boil milk. So he got the message that he could kill this demon with a foam weapon. So he used a weapon made of foam. F-O-A-M, foam. And he killed that demon. And then he got very excited. After killing this very powerful demon, demigods fought very valiantly. And they were decimating the demons one by one. So then Narada and Brahma, they said, hey, wait a minute, slow down. Don't kill all the demons. You're winning the battle. You're victorious. Now stop the fight. There's no need. You're needlessly killing the soldiers. There's no need anymore. So then on the beseechment of Narada, Indra gave up the battle. So now Bali, he's there, and he's speaking this verse. He understands. He was very experienced in universal affairs. See, he was knocked out in the battle. But Shukracharya is his guru. By his mystic power, he revived his body with Sanjeevani. It's like sometimes in Ayurveda, they sell a medicine called Sanjeevani Ras. So it was based on this mantra. Shukracharya chanted a mantra called Sanjeevani Mantra. And he got his jivani. He got his life back. He was dead. Bali was killed by Indra. But he got his life back by the mercy of his guru. So this point we can relate to. We're also living dead. But we were revived. We received the Sanjeevani Mantra from our guru. What Sanjeevani Mantra did our guru give us? Which gave us life. Jeev jago, Gora Chandra Poli. He gave us the Gora Chandra mantra. He gave us the Pancha Tattva Maha mantra. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasani Gaur Bhaktivinoda. And he gave us the Maha mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So by these two mantras, this is Sanjeevani mantra. We become revived. We were dead. Our life was death, a life of death, samsara. Just living, chewing the chewed, punak punak charvata charvananam. Engaged in materialistic activities which were done by our forefathers and done by us life after life after life. We have so many lifetimes of ahara, so many lifetimes of nidra, so many lifetimes of maitun, and so many lifetimes of bhayam. So many lifetimes after lifetimes of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. A deathly life, janma mrityu, just born and died, born and died. And in between time, we engage in all these deathly activities, ghostly, deathly activities. So our guru was like Sukracharya. Bali was dead. Indra killed Bali. But by the power of his guru, Sukracharya, and the power of the mantra that he was given by his guru, he became alive. So in the same way, guru gives mantras which wakens the soul, gives life to the soul. Initiation, the beginning of life. Initiation means the beginning. It's not the end point. You get initiated, that's the beginning of your life, your beginning of spiritual life. So if you're 5 years a devotee, it means you're 5 years old. If you're 8 years a devotee, you're 8 years old. Not that you're 46 or 39 or 24 or whatever you are, your body. But the soul has been awake. Now this, I've been 5 years a devotee. My soul has been awake for 5 years. After millions of years of sleeping in nidra. Millions of years, millions of lifetimes sleeping in ignorance. Jeev jago, gora chandra bhole. Wake up, Jeev. The soul is woken up by this mantra. So, now we're alive. But there's so many more conceptions that have to grow within us. So many more revelations that have to be realized by us. And Guru gives further mantras to give further life. So there's Sambandha, there's Abhideya and Prayojana. So he gives us Maha Mantra, Panchatattva Mantra, and they're working. Then he gives us Gayatri Mantra, gives us Guru Gayatri, Gauranga Gayatri, Gopal Mantra. And then these mantras also wake, like Gopal Mantra, it awakens the Sarup. The Sarup of the Jiva is awakened by Gopal Mantra. That's like Brahma. He was in ignorance on top of the lotus flower at the beginning of creation. He didn't know who he was, how he was supposed to do his work, what he was supposed to do. And he performed tapasya. And then by performing tapasya for thousands and thousands of years, Narayan was very pleased with him. Krishna was pleased. So he gave him mantra. He sent his wife. The wife of Lord Narayan is known as Divya Saraswati. Divya Saraswati came to Brahma and said, yes, here's a mantra. Now you will wake up. Here's your Sanjeevani mantra, the mantra which will waken you up. So what mantra did Divya Saraswati, what mantra did Saraswati, the wife of Lord Narayan, give to Brahma to wake him up? She gave him the Gopal mantra, which is mentioned in Brahma Samhita. So in the Gopal Tapani Upanishad, which glorifies the Gopal mantra, it explains what is the power of the Gopal mantra, this mantra which we get from Guru. The power of the Gopal mantra is such that it reveals, it shows you the life, your sarup, siddhi. What is your sarup? Because Guru gives Maha Mantra and Panchatattva Mantra, they give the life of seva, seva jivani. We begin a life of seva. We use this body and these senses in seva, service of Guru. But we don't know who we are spiritually. We don't know our sarup. That has not been revealed. But this Gopal mantra, very powerful. This is the primary function. It reveals the sarup of the jiva and Bhagavat sarup. So Brahma, as we see in Brahma Samhita, very clearly explained, he chanted this mantra, Gopal mantra. And after some time, he came to understand. He had spurti or mystic vision. In his meditation, he saw Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, and he saw Krishna. And then he heard Krishna's flute, and Krishna's flute entered into his ears, and it came out as the Brahma Gayatri and Kam Gayatri. And then being purified by the contact with the Gayatri, he became acquainted with the ocean of truth. He became understood all the Vedas, and then he understood the nature of his sarup. He understood, yes, I'm a maidservant of Krishna. So he understood that. What is his actual spiritual form? I'm a maidservant of Krishna. But the details he did not know. So this was all received by mantra. So this is a very nice point. Sukracharya gave a new body to Bali Maharaj. So we also want to get a new body. And we have a new body. By walking on the path of devotion, we're walking on the path of attaining a new body. First, you have to get a seva-deha. Your mind, body, and senses have to be absorbed in the conception that I am Krishna's servant. Dasosmi. Krishna, I am your servant. My mind is for your service, my words are for your service, my body is for your service, my wealth is for your service, everything I have in my hand is for your service. So this is the beginning of a new body. New body means new conception. We live with a new idea. Before I thought I was the enjoyer. Ishvaroham aham bhogi siddham balavan sukhi. I am the controller. Ishvara. I am the bhogi, I am the enjoyer of this body. Is my body to do what I want, to enjoy. Ishvaraham aham bhogi. This is Asura Sampat, 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna, God himself, he knows. He knows psychology. He's the best psychologist. Is there a better psychologist than Krishna? He has created everything. So naturally he understands the mentality, the Asura Sampat, the mentality of the demon. So he thinks, I am the controller, I am the enjoyer, I am perfect, I am powerful. Siddham balavan sukhi. I am perfect, I am powerful, and I am, oh, so happy. Well, this is demoniac mentality. So that conception is the antithesis of the conception of dasosmi, that I am Krishna's servant. Aham bhogi is the opposite of dasosmi. So that's the beginning Guru gives. So we chant Hare Krishna, and what does it mean to chant Hare Krishna? Oh Krishna, please engage me in your service. That is our prayer. That is our meditation. That is our conception. That is our aspiration. That is our endeavor. That is our work. That is our life. Oh Krishna, oh Radharani, you're the greatest servant, the greatest devotee. Please engage me in the service of Krishna. So that is the beginning. So this Maha Mantra gives that, and the Panchatattva Mantra gives us the ability to chant the Maha Mantra and receive the fruits of that, the mantra fall. And then when Guru is pleased, and he wants to reveal more of your actual... That now you have the seva deha. Your body is engaged in seva. Your senses are engaged in seva. And maybe, time to time, your mind is engaged in seva. Sometimes you think of Krishna or think of Guru, but at least you're doing seva. Then if Guru is pleased with that steadiness, with that sincerity, then he gives further mantras. He gives diksha. Divya gyan. Diksha means divya gyan and shamate. Means he cleanses, further cleansing. So then we chant Brahma Gayatri, Guru Gayatri, Gauranga Gayatri, Gopal Mantra, and Kam Gayatri. And by these mantras, then we realize another body. Another body is realized. Not this body, man's body, woman's body, but we realize the Swarup. What is my actual spiritual body? So these mantras give that. And that's another life. That's another conception. This to live in the conception of my spiritual identity. That comes at the advanced stage of devotional service. A new life. Now we've begun a new life of Krishna consciousness, a new lifestyle, new practices, new ideas. But then when we realize our spiritual form by the mercy of these Sanjeevani mantras given by Guru, then we live in another life, the internal life, the life of Smaran, Smaran Jivana, the life of remembrance of my form and the spiritual world and my service there at the advanced levels of devotion. We are going in that direction. This is the purpose of devotion. There is Sadhana Bhakti, stage one. Then there is Bhava Bhakti, stage two. And then there's the goal, stage three. Prema Bhakti. This is the direction. This is the Param Gati. We say Param Gati. The Param Gati is Krishna Prema, Braja Prema. So this is a nice point. Now in this particular verse, the last verse of this chapter, Bali Maharaj and Prabhupada are bringing up this point of duty. He says that, and Prabhupada quotes a verse from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, verse 47. I think every Indian knows this verse by heart. I think you're born with this verse in your womb or in the womb or something. Karmanye vadikaraste mafaleshu kadachana. In other words, you're entitled, you should perform your prescribed duty, but you're not entitled to the fruits of that. You should not be attached to the fruits of your duty. And you should not be attached to not performing your duty. So this is a verse about duty. So duty means varna and ashrama. We have many, many duties to perform. Duty means dharma. What is your actions? So in the material world, we have so many duties. There's so many dharmas. Stri dharma, kula dharma, patni dharma, raja dharma, dana dharma, many, many dharmas. Samajika dharma. So many dharmas we have to perform. Unless we surrender to Krishna. Because when we're born in this world, we have many debts. We have many, many debts. So Narada Muni explains, he analyzes and explains all those debts in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam. And he says that if one surrenders to Krishna, he's free from all these debts. So this is the actual duty of every living entity, is to surrender to Krishna. So in the 11th canto, Narada Muni explains, Devarshi Bhutapta Nirnim Vrijinam. It says, Nakinkaro Nayanam Rini Charajan Savatmanak Yaksharanam Sharanyam Gato Mukundam Parivrityakartum. Gato Mukundam Parivrityakartum. Parivrityakartum. If we give up, kartum means activities, duties. If we give up all our duties, parivritya, like tyagi, parivrityakartum. If we give up, this is the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 5, verse 41, I believe it's verse 41. It says, Devarshi Bhutam. So if we give up all of our duties and surrender to Gato Mukundam, Sarvatmanat Yak Sharanam Sharanyam, Sarva Atmana Sharanam Sharanyam. If we take full shelter of Mukunda, who is Mukunda? Mukti Dha, Mukunda. That Lord who Dha, he gives Dhan, he gives Mukti, he gives liberation. Only then are you free from all duties. You're free from all dharmas. So then Narada Muni explains all those different responsibilities. He uses the word vrini, nakinkaro. He says, nakinkaro nayam charini charajan. He says, oh Raja, oh King, listen, you have vrini, R-N-I, rini. Rini means debts. Debts. And nakinkaro, nakinkaro nayam charini. Kinkaro means services, responsibilities. Kinkaro. So, if you don't surrender to Krishna, when you take birth in this world, you have so many debts and so many responsibilities and so many things you must pay. And if you don't perform these duties, then you go to hell, then you suffer. Devarshi Bhutapta Nirnam Pritirnam. We have responsibilities, we have debts and duties for the devas and the rishis. Because the demigods are giving us light and sun and rain and water and food. And by their arrangement, we're getting our very the bodies we're living in. Are given by the demigods. So Deva Rishi, then Devarshi Bhutapta. Bhuta means other living entities. Other living entities. We're indebted. The cow is giving us milk. So we're indebted to the cow. So we have. How do we pay all these debts? By Goseva. Then the Rishis have given us so much knowledge. Vedic wisdom and knowledge. How to perform our duties properly as a Kshatriya. How to be a Brahmin. How to be a Vaishya. How to be a Shudra. How to actually conceive a proper child. Ayurveda and Dhanurveda and Garbhadhan Samskara, all the Vedic knowledge has been given by the great rishis. Devarshi Bhutapta Nirnim Pritaninam. So we have debts to the rishis. So how do we perform, how do we pay our debts to the rishis? By observing brahmacharya, by swadhyaya, by tapasya. These are different prescribed means to pay the debts to the rishis. Devarshi Bhuta, Bhutapta. Bhuta means the living entities like cows. We have debts to the cows. Because the cows give us milk, so we have to do go-seva and establish go-shalas and so many things we have to do. Otherwise we suffer, because they're giving us so much. And then other living entities is explained, like in the morning, the birds come and sit on the trees or branches or on your rooftop and they sing sweetly. The sparrows and the peacocks and the quails and the cuckoos. And the shooks and sharis, the parrots, they sing very nicely, and when you wake up, you enjoy that nice music of the birds singing in the morning, and it's very peaceful for the mind. It's very nice. So they're giving us that freely, so we're indebted to the birds. We have to establish little places for them to bathe, give them water, give them food. These are all debts you have, because we're giving all these living entities. Devarshi Bhutapta Nrinam, Apta. Apta means our relatives. Apta, A-P-T-A, means our relatives. They give us so much wealth. We receive inheritance from our parents, or we receive the family business, or they've provided for us a nice situation. Devarshi Bhutapta Nrinam Pritinam. And Pitri means the forefathers. Forefathers, they've given us so much benefit. So in this way, we have so many debts we have to pay. But if one becomes a devotee of Krishna, he has no more debts. Sarvatmanam Sharanam, Sarvatmana Yaksharanam Sharanyam. You take full shelter of Krishna. What does it mean to take full shelter of Krishna? This is the real duty of human life. Sarvatmana, Sarva Atmana, Sharanam. You have to take shelter of Krishna. What does that mean? That means you surrender to Guru. When one surrenders to Guru and endeavors to please him and serve him, then he's free from debts. Then he becomes free from debts. Only at that time. Because sometimes devotees, they come in this line. They think, oh, I have debts. I have to send some money back to my mother in Bengal. So please, temple president, please give me a percentage of my collections. I have to maintain my mother and father. This is actually Maya. Different devotees, they take something for the mother, for the... But this is not required. This is actually Maya. This is Maya. Because a brahmachari or grihastha, they're supposed, if you fully surrender to Krishna, there are no more debts. This is the whole purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. This teaching, that this is the idea. We don't owe anything to anyone. But the question, but as soon as you act on this material platform, then you're actually not surrendering to Krishna. Because you're thinking, I have to take care of my mother in Calcutta. I have to send her some money. Otherwise she'll die. So you think that you're God. You think that you're the maintainer. So that prohibits you from surrendering. Or you're affected. You're affected because your mother says, oh, you're a devotee, what about me? You have to take care of me. So you become sentimental. You become sentimental because you don't think that Krishna will maintain your mother or your grandmother or your brothers and sisters. So you have to send money back to Bengal or to Bihar to send them to school and buy them new clothes because you're the elder brother or the elder sister. This is all Maya. And maintaining such ideas is not Krishna conscious. Because we have decided in ourselves that Krishna cannot maintain my mother or my children or my relatives. I have to do it. I am the controller. I am the maintainer. Because I'm earning money here. But whose money is it? It's Krishna's money for his service. If you offer every penny to Krishna, he will arrange for your brothers and sisters. This is Krishna consciousness. The elephants are eating hundreds of pounds of food every day, but they don't have some relative working in Calcutta or working in Delhi. Some elephant is working in Delhi and sending money back to the jungle to maintain his brother. No. Krishna's maintaining all the living entities. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam eko bahunam yo vedadati kaman. But as soon as we think I'm the maintainer of Brahma, what to speak of brahmacharya? It's one thing if you're a grihastha and you live outside, you know, you're the eldest son and you feel some debt so you give something to your parents. That's one thing. But a brahmachari is fully surrendered to Krishna. Why does he have to take something to send to his parents? I never heard of such a thing. Now we all, when we join under Prabhupada's guidance, we surrender to Krishna and our parents are Haribo, Krishna will take care. Just like Prabhupada, he wanted to take sannyas, but his two daughters were not married. So Kanyadharma was on his head. Kanyadan. A father must marry his daughters properly and religiously, otherwise that father goes to hell. It's actually even more severe punishment than that, but we can't mention now. What awaits a father that doesn't marry his daughters? What he has to do? At any rate, but Prabhupada, he didn't marry his daughters and it was time for sannyas, and he thought, oh, what to do? This dharma is on my head. I have this responsibility. My own daughters are not married. So, but he didn't think, oh, I will go to hell. If I become a devotee, I better... He said, no. He thought, well, what if I died? What if I died right now? Then who would marry my daughters? Krishna would take care. Somehow they would get married. Somehow or other, girl gets married. If it's her karma to get married, she'll get married. Jaya Parthasarathi. So then Prabhupada, being called by his guru and being inspired by his godbrothers, he took sannyas. And he left his daughters to Krishna's mercy. So the same thing, you come to become a devotee and your mother's pulling your ear. Come on, you're my son, you have to maintain me. Oh, and I know you're, what are you doing there? Oh, I'm collecting money for the temple. Oh, you're collecting money for the temple? Then you should collect some for me too. You know, I'm also Krishna. So this has been going on since time immemorial in India. The collectors send money back to the village. And that, frankly speaking, it's Maya. We may accommodate it for whatever reason because we have to accommodate the Maya of the neophyte. But if you want to stay in neophyte consciousness your whole life, well, good luck. You can come back next life and you can take care of your mother in your next life in a more proper way. Give her all your collections. This is karma yoga. This is not even bhakti. It's karma. You're working for Krishna and giving the results to your parents and keeping some for yourself. It's karma mishra bhakti because it's under order of a guru. At any rate, we should understand that Krishna is the maintainer. He's doing everything. So we should try to come to the platform of pure devotional service. That's why does Prabhupada quote this verse in the purport? Anukluyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhaktir Uttama. Do you know what that verse is? Do you know why that just kind of drops into this purport? Where it comes from? It's by Rupa Goswami from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Anyabhi Lashita Shunyam Gyanakarmadi Namritam. Then Prabhupada quotes Anukul. You want to know what is Anukul? Anukul means favorable for pure devotion. Uttama Bhakti. Why did you come to Krishna consciousness? You came to maintain your mother and your relatives and do all these other duties, Lokiki Dharma. We're supposed to follow Devarshi Narada and just forget all these dharmas. And then you can put Krishna to the test. Then you can find out whether you're Krishna conscious or not. Because if you surrender to Krishna and serve Him, see if He takes care of your little brothers and sisters. See if He takes care of your mother and father. You know? For six years I collected money for ISKCON. I collected $700,000, $800,000 20 years ago. I didn't send one penny to my mother. You know? It was unheard of. Oh, excuse me, Temple President, I'm collecting, $1,200 a week. Can I have $50 to send to my mother in New York? He say, well, you crazy? What is this? You think Krishna's, But nowadays everything is like watered down. Watered down means diluted. Diluted means not uttama bhakti. So we get distracted. So when these things are in us, then so many other manifestations of materiality come out of us. Desire for adoration, desire for distinction, desire for name and fame. Because we're not trying for uttama bhakti. So Rupa Goswami explains in Nectar Devotion, that's why Prabhupada quotes this. He said, our duty is simply, he quotes two points, he quotes, this, we have a duty to perform in Bhagavad Gita. We should not be attached to results. And then he quotes, one must execute his duty as ordered by Krishna or his guru. And then he quotes, Anukulyena. He doesn't even say anything. He says one sentence. Prabhupada says, one must perform his duty as given by guru and Krishna. That's our only duty. That's our only dharma. We have no other dharma than that. This is sarvatmanaye, sharanyam. You take shelter of guru and Krishna. And that's it. Finished. Business over. But as soon as you're not taking shelter of Guru and Krishna, you have so many complicated dharmas and duties and responsibilities, which entangle you in their reactions and results. Entangle in karma. Then Prabhupada quotes this verse, Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhaktirutama. Then he says in English, in first-class devotional service, one always abides by the orders and will of Krishna. So this is Uttama Bhakti. We simply, our only duty is to please Krishna and carry out the instructions of Krishna. And that should be what we worry about. How much am I pure in my devotion? How much am I purely serving my guru? How much am I actually carrying out his order? Because the more I surrender to his order and the more I perform my service, my duty to guru and Krishna correctly, the more I'm free from all these debts and all these problems. And you'll see, because even if one dies, if one performs bhakti without falling down and he dies as a Kanishta Adhikar, three generations of his family gets liberated. Then if he's a Madhyam Bhakta, then 14 generations. Then if he's Uttam Bhakta, he's an Uttam Adhikari, but not so top level, then 21 generations. And if he's a Mahabhagavat Parama Vaishnava, then 100 generations of his family get liberated. So see how much benefit you're doing for your family. So why you have to send him a few rupees every month? You have no duty to perform but Uttama Bhakti. But we're getting so distracted. We're carrying, it says that there's load carriers. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in Chaitanya Shikshamrita, there's essence seekers, those who are seeking the essence, sara, the essence of life. Then there's load bearing. There's some people that bear loads. And he gives the analogy like this. The bee, the honey bee, Vishwanath gives this analogy, the madhukaram, the honey bee, he flies into a rose bush. The honey bee, he flies into a rose bush. Rose bush has many branches, many stickers, many leaves, many flowers. But he goes into that rose bush and he goes directly to the center of the flower and he takes out something. It's called the nectar. The center of the flower, the essence of that whole rose bush and the branches and the stickers and thorns and leaves and flowers is the nectar. The honey bee goes in there and he gets the nectar and he leaves. Well, this is essence seeking. He's seeking the essence. Now there's another kind of animal called an ass. Gada. Gada? Gada. Gada? The ass, the jackass. What he does is the man comes, he's clearing fields and he cuts down so many weeds and brambles and sticker bushes and trees, piles a big pile, 50 kilos, and he puts it on the back of the ass and the ass is carrying it, this big heavy load. And he's missing. He doesn't get any essence. He's just working hard like a slave, and he's not getting the essence. He's carrying so many branches and leaves, but the actual essence of a plant or the essence of a flower or the rose is the nectar. So a devotee is supposed to be essence-seeking. He's supposed to seek the essence of life, which is prema, and do everything to attain uttama bhakti. He's not supposed to carry big, heavy loads of so many dharma, samajika dharma, stri dharma, kula dharma, patni dharma, so many dharmas, raja dharma, dana dharma. This is like an ass carrying so much heavy load. He can't make any progress. And why is the ass like that? Because he's stupid. He's stupid. He doesn't understand. He doesn't know that if I run away from this guy, I work so hard because he gives me a carrot. He gives me a piece of gujar at the end of the day. He gives me a little grass. He doesn't have a brain to know if I ran away from him, there's grass growing everywhere. Just like they explain, it's a very funny story, that during the rainy season, during monsoon time, there's rain falling everywhere in Vrindavan. And the grass is growing everywhere. Grass is growing every little nook and cranny. You can get so much grass. And so that's the food of the ass, is the grass. But what happens when you let the ass loose, when you let them loose to eat, he eats grass, and he's eating and eating, but he gets an anxiety, because he's thinking, Chandra, I only walked a little bit. He eats a little grass, but there's grass everywhere. He gets an anxiety because he thinks, well, I haven't walked very far. Have I eaten or not? Because usually when he has to walk so far to get grass, so what happens in the rainy season, the ass gets very skinny, even though there's food everywhere. Because he walks a little bit and he thinks, and he eats something, but then he gets an anxiety. He says, oh, did I eat or not eat? Because I didn't walk very far. Usually I have to walk many kilometers to get a full belly. My belly's full, but I only walked a few meters. Then he gets an anxiety and he gets diarrhea and it doesn't digest his food. And he gets dysentery. So then he gets real skinny. He eats a full belly, but he looks around and he goes, hey, I only walked 2 kilometers. I can't be full already. But he's stupid. But then in the dry season, when there's hardly any grass, he walks here and there, and he walks so many places to catch a little grass to fill his belly. He walks for miles. But his digestion is very good. Because he's walking, he's not in anxiety. And he digests and he gets a little strong. So this is the ass. Just see how stupid he is. So the devotee who carries all these dharmas into the movement, responsibility, he's like the ass. He's missing the essence. So Prabhupada quotes it, Anukalyena Krishnanu. We must accept those things that are favorable for uttama bhakti and reject the other things by taking shelter of the order of Guru and the service of Guru. So this, that we should take this to note, that we have no other duty. We have no duties. This is the great beauty of Krishna consciousness. By being devotee, this is our only duty. Of course, if you line yourself, you have particular psychological or physical duties, you may be brahmachari, there's particular duties for brahmachari or grihastha, but the main duty is sarvatmana yaksharanam sharanyam. Whether you're a grihastha or brahmachari or sannyasi or vanaprast, the only duty is take shelter of Mukunda, sarvatma. So that becomes percentage wise. And of course there are different duties, like the duty for a grihastha is to perform jagya and give in charity, duty of the sannyasi is equanimity and peace, sense control, peacefulness of mind and speaking. And duty of the brahmachari is to serve. He just does anything the guru says. He's just a servant. And like that. So then the duty of the vanaprasa is to perform austerities, intense austerities, to purify himself from the life of grihastha life, all the karmas and business and so many things. So he performs austerity, he travels in the forest. At Savanapras, as explained in 11th canto, the different duties of the different ashramas. But the primary duty is this. So we have to sometimes examine ourselves and say, wait a minute, sarvatmanak yaksharanam, am I actually surrendering to Krishna, or am I carrying these heavy loads of grass and brambles and sticks of dharma and material attachments and so-called self-imposed responsibilities? Because we have no responsibility but to take shelter of the holy name and to serve Guru and Krishna. That is our life. That is our soul. That's why we sing the song. We sing the song, but we don't follow the teachings. Parama Kuruna, Pahundi Vijana, Nittai Ghora Chandra, Kevala Ananda Kanda, Kevala Ananda Kanda. Parama Kuruna, Pahundi Vijana. Those two great lords, Parama Kuruna, Ghora Nittai. They are Parama Kuruna, Pahundi Vijana, Nittai Ghora Chandra. Then they gave us a process, Kevala Ananda Kanda. That this Keval, Ananda. Keval means only. Kevala Bhakti. There's nothing else but Ananda. The life of a devotee is blissful. Kevala Ananda Kanda. This is our process. Chanting, dancing, taking prasadam, hearing philosophy, surrendering to Guru, Mahotsavs, Rathiyatra, Janmastami, Kartik Bratta. All these things are bliss producing because they're all transcendental. The nature of transcendence, it's made of ananda, satchidananda. So kevala ananda. But when we bring all these other things in, then we don't experience the kevala ananda kanda, the joyful process of Krishna consciousness. Because we're carrying these heavy loads of unnecessary burdens, responsibilities, dharmas. So we must reject these things to come to the platform of pure bhakti. If you don't come in this life, then next life you'll be faced with the same dilemma. Oh, my mother. Oh, my father. My brothers. I have to take care of them. They're crying. This is Maya. Sentiments you should have. Sentiments means love. Love means prema. And prema for Krishna and Guru. How could you bear, you collect money and say, yes, I'm going to send this home to my brother so he can buy a new pair of Levi's. How could a devotee bear to do that? Month you send 1,000 rupees, after 12 months you have 12,000 rupees for your brother's Levi's and his sports shirt and his, you know, whatever. This is not good. And if you have to become Krishna conscious and preach to your relatives to also take shelter of Krishna. Or if they have difficulty, then say, join us. Like in LA, Prabhupada gave a lecture. Because the neighbors were a little bit envious. So Prabhupada said, yes, these people in Los Angeles, I was living there and staying in Los Angeles temple, and Prabhupada gave this lecture. Yes, our neighbors means people next door. Because we had the temple, and then we bought the apartment building across the street, and then we bought the apartment building next. Practically the whole block was called Watsika Avenue. That's the name of where the LA temple is, Watsika. That was the world headquarters for ISKCON before Mayapur. It was always Los Angeles. Book publishing, everything is Los Angeles. So Watsika, so that's a good name, right? What a Sika. So the name of the street was Watsika. W-A-T, so what a Sika. So it was a good name. The Hare Krishna should be on that street because it's, well, Watsika. Sika means this little tuft of hair. So we were gobbling up the whole street. We started with the temple. Like Krishna is like that. He comes in like a needle and out like a plow. We had the temple building, which was an old church for that neighborhood. And we converted it into Radha Krishna temple. And then we converted the assembly hall into a fake museum. And we converted the cafeteria into a brahmachari ashram. But then we started getting a little big. Devotees started joining. So we bought the apartment building across the street. And then the one next door. And the one next door to that. And the one next door to that. And then all the way down for like 200 meters, 300 meters was Hare Krishna's. Kids and adults and brahmacharis. And so everybody else on the street. And we had so many vans. We had big trucks and so many things. It was opulent times. 74, 75. So Prabhupada gave this lecture. He said, yes. Our neighbors are very envious of us. They see, oh, the Hare Krishnas, they don't do anything. They have all brand new cars. They have all these brand new apartment buildings. They have such nice facility. They're eating such nice food. And they're not doing anything. They just jump up and down, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And they run around selling their books and chanting Hare Krishna. But they have so much opulence and so many things. So Prabhupada said, they're envious. You're envious of those that have more than you or above you. So then Prabhupada said, but if we go to them and say, sir, please, join our temple. Make your house a temple. Become a Hare Krishna. No way. But we say to him, if you surrender to Krishna, you'll have a new car, you'll have a new house, you'll have opulence, you'll be happy and peaceful and joyful also. Like us. You can be like us. Just join us. Just sharanam, sarvatmana yak sharanam sharanyam. Sarvatmana yak sharanam sharanyam. Just surrender to Krishna like we do and you'll get everything. So that's what we should do to our parents and our brothers and sisters that we send money to, whatever, around India. We should preach to them. And you say, oh, you want money? Okay, you join. Come to Delhi. Move into the temple. Krishna will take care of you. Why do I have to take care of you? Well, I'm not God. The Shastras, we read the Shastras, we preach the Shastras, but we don't live the Shastra. So you know what that's called in English? If you preach something and read something, but you don't live it. It's called hypocrisy. Hypocrite. What do you say in Hindi? What's hypocrite? Pakandi. Acha. Sounds like a bird or something. Paki. Pakandi. So Pakandi Bhakta. No faith, no Shraddha in Krishna. You'll never get prema if you don't have Shraddha. The foundation of the building of prema is Shraddha. Faith in Krishna. Faith, yes, if I surrender to Krishna, Krishna will take care of my mother. My mother and father, I don't know how they're still going on. My father's 80-something, my mother's 70-something. But they're going on by the blessings of Krishna because their son's a devotee. He's maintaining them so they can get more mercy. Still getting, every time I write a new book, I send them a new book. I send them prasadam. So they're staying on. Krishna's keeping them more, maintaining them and keeping them more and more so they can get more mercy and get more purified. But karmically, they're supposed to have died. But Krishna's continuing them. So Krishna maintains.
He's the maintainer. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam eko bahunam yovadadati kaman. Eko bahunam yovadadati kaman. There's one eko. Eko bahu sham. There's one known as Sham, Krishna. And he's maintaining everyone. Yovadadati kaman. So let's try to surrender. Okay, we had a certain path for the last 15 years in Krishna consciousness. 16 years. But let's get serious. Because if we get serious, then when we become serious about Shraddha, faith in Krishna, we can transfer that to our mother and father and our relatives. But as long as we're full of materiality and full of ideas of misconceptions depending on material energy and thinking we're the maintainer, then we project that to our relatives and they stay in illusion also. So we should actually become Krishna conscious and realize our one and only duty is simply surrender to Krishna and pray. Prabhupada taught this example himself, as I mentioned. All the acharyas have taught this example. This is our philosophy. We must, if you don't live the philosophy, you will never realize the philosophy. The question is that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu observed the pinda ceremony for his father. That's a spiritual function. A spiritual function. Of course, he's a grihastha also. So when is a grihastha? And we can do that. We can go, we can do pinda to Ben. And once, you know, that, in other words, that's a one-time function that one does. It's a spiritual function. And it's also pilgrimage. It has all spiritual, it's good for you, it's good for your forefathers to do pinda. But actually it's explained in Shastras that when Prabhupada was asked about that, he said, how do we observe pinda when we were in the West? Because the devotees were in LA. They said, Prabhupada, my father died. Should I go to Gaya? Should I go to Gaya and do pinda? Because, you know, for you it's only a train ride. But if you're living in America, it's 50,000 rupees. And you're going in your grihastha and your work, what to do? And they don't understand things like that. Taking leave, you go to your Boston Ford Motor Company and say, excuse me, I have to go to Gaya for pinda. They won't give you leave. In India, they'll give you leave. So Prabhupada said, here's what you should do. You should feed the Vaishnavas. You can perform a jagya, and just in honor of your father, you can feed all the Vaishnavas and have Nam Kirtan. This is the best jagya. So in the name of your father, you spend some money, you have a nice mahotsav, bhandara, you invite all the devotees in the temple and say, my father has died, please you take this prasadam and let us have a nice kirtan and please you send your blessings, your Vaishnav kripa, ashirvad, for the benefit of my father. Bas, finished. If you're in India and you want to go, that's like a yatra, and if your guru sanctions such activity, everything's under guru sanction. That's in Krishna's hand. The Shastras say liberated, and the Shastras also describe different means of liberation. For example, liberated means putra. The meaning of a son, the name of son is putra. Tra means chayate, or to liberate, or free. And put means hell. So your parents, they're probably destined to go to hell. You know, if they're not, you know, if they're normal Westerners, they're going to hell. So many births as a cow, so many births because of all the sins. So if you become a devotee, just you die as a kanishtha, they'll get liberated from that hell. They'll get a human body. That's one type of liberation. Then there's swarga mukti. Many types of liberation are there. But the idea is they will get whatever bondage they're in, whatever position, they'll get elevated to a tremendous position. Position so that they can take up Krishna consciousness. That's what liberation means. The liberation that the devotee bestows upon their relatives is to grant them a position where they can receive the sukriti, the fruits of the sukriti they gain by being the son of a devotee. In other words, your parents commit many sins, but they eat a little prasadam and this and that. So they have to pay off their sins, and then they have to reap the results of their good things, their sukriti. So this is the blessing, that the devotee will give them the opportunity to reap the results of their piety very quickly. Three generations are immediately given that blessing. Gopal mantra is available in the Brahma Samhita. Open it up, you can see there's a Gopal mantra. Gopal mantra is in the Gopal Tapani Upanishads. You can just open a book and start chanting, right? No, must get mantra from Guru. The mantra is written in the Brahma Samhita. It's written in the Gopal Tapani Upanishad. But you can't, if you chant that mantra, if you read it in a book and chant it, nothing will happen. Some punya will come because you're chanting names of Krishna. So mantra must be received by Guru. So when Guru sees that you're serious, in other words, when he sees that you're serious about attaining the mantra fall that this mantra gives, then he'll give the mantra. Why should he cast his pearls before a swine? Swine means pigs. There's a phrase from Bible. Don't cast your pearls. Jesus told his disciples, don't cast your pearls before the swine. Pearls means your mantras, your knowledge. Those that are unqualified, the anadikaris, they can't take, so why give? So the guru, he won't give. An anadikari, he won't give the mantras. When he sees that you're qualified and serious to attain the to realize your sarup and realize Krishna and go back to the kingdom of God in a serious way, they don't give further mantras. There's many, many mantras to attain perfection. Excuse me? One gets diksha from Guru in ISKCON. He gets many things at once. He gets seven mantras. First of all, because a Vaishnava, the position of a Vaishnava is considered superior to that of a Brahmana. Although many people come to the Vaishnava fold at a late age and from different varnas, coming from the level of Shudra, Kshatriya, Vaishya, etc. And of course they may not have performed the Upanayanam when they were young. So when they come to Krishna consciousness, they perform a jagya called Pancha Samskara Jagya. In Pancha Samskara, you become qualified to receive, become purified and qualified to receive Upanayanam. So when a devotee comes to the Gaudiya Vaishnava fold, any person, he gets Upanayanam. Upanayanam means the Brahman thread and Brahma Gayatri. That's called Upanayanam. Upaniti, Upanayanam. This is Dvija, second birth. Some people have it already from their village or from their youth, but many don't. They got a Vaishnava is higher than that. So we get seven mantras at the time of Diksha. So Upanayanam is there, Brahma Gayatri, then Guru Gayatri, and Gauranga Gayatri, and then we get Gopal Mantra. That's one of the mantras we get. Sometimes in some Gaudiya lines, they give the Maha Mantra, and then they give Gopal Mantra. Because Gopal Mantra is very powerful. And it's a very important mantra. So we should understand, it's such an important mantra, such a powerful mantra. Generally, we saw in our experience, I can't say nowadays, but in our experience, a devotee would come into the temple, live strictly in the ashram under order of guru and temple president. 6 months later, he would get initiation. That was our experience. We joined in March and October, we got first initiation. And in January, we got the second initiation. So 3 months later. So then generally after first initiation, and 1 year later, one was given Brahman initiation. That was Prabhupada's standard. 1 year later, when he saw and he was looking for the characteristics of steadiness. The devotee is steadily serving in the temple, he's very obedient, he's steadily attending all the programs, he's obedient to the temple president, doing his service nicely, then after 1 year, he's given diksha. I don't know what the standard is now, but that was our founder Acharya's standard. So somehow there's been some delay and you're receiving these mantras, you should implore. You should implore your beloved Gurudev. Oh Gurudev, please bless me. These are important. I want to take this diksha. I want to have the opportunity to serve the Thakurji and get free from so much, get purified. Because our chanting of Hare Krishna will go into high gear when we take diksha. Because diksha is auxiliary, it is helping, it's nourishing, it's helping the chanting of Hare Krishna. Gayatri is called Gayatri, the song which liberates. Gayatri retires at the point of liberation. The Maha Mantra goes on all the way and stays on in the spiritual world. So Gayatri helps us. It's a booster. Like you have some cars in the West, they have an engine and they have a supercharger. It's a supercharger, like a little extra engine. So when you're driving your car, because we had sports cars when we grew up, so you flip a button, a little button on the dashboard, and that gives you supercharger. It gives you like two engines, and you go really fast. So this Gayatri is like supercharger. It helps your chanting go even faster. It improves you, because it creates more purity within you. And the more pure you become, the quicker the Maha Mantra can reveal all its sweet glories. Harinam Amrita. So we want purification. So we want whatever. How can I get, oh Gurudev, how can I get purified? How can I get free from anarthas? Oh, well, you should become qualified. Let's get serious. Read these books. I'll give you a test in these books. I want you to become Brahman. So Guru, it should be something serious. Brahman means you're fixed in Brahman. So if you read Prabhupada's books 3 times, with a service attitude, with a mood of surrender, sarvatmana yaksharam sharanyam, no doubt you'll become qualified to receive diksha. It's the whole idea, the point of the class. He's saying, what if someone has so many duties to perform, vivaha, jagya, marriage, and so many other duties, but he runs to Krishna, then what's his position? This is because Jiva Goswami explains in relation to this verse. Because Krishna is speaking this verse in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, and Narada Muni is quoting it. And he says, this verse I quoted, Devarshi Bhutatan, all these different debts, all the debts and responsibilities you have are liquidated. They're liquidated and they're absolved by Krishna. Krishna says, I promise, if you surrender unto me, I will take care of all your debts. So Jiva Goswami gives a tika, or purport, on this verse from Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 5, verse 41. And he says that the devotees, what does it mean? Sarvatmana yat sharanam sharanyam gato mukundam pairityakartum. He says, what does it mean that the devotees, Mukunda Sharanam, what does it mean that the devotees take shelter of Mukunda in this verse? Mukunda Sharanam. Jiva Goswami Pad explains, taking shelter means the devotees take shelter of this promise of Krishna. They take shelter. In this verse, Krishna promises to absolve the devotee, to free the devotee from all debts, all responsibilities, all duties, all anything, if he takes shelter of my guru, of my representative, he takes shelter of guru and takes shelter of me. So the devotees, that's what Jiva says, it means that they take shelter of the Krishna's promise. In this verse, Krishna promises, I take shelter of Krishna's promise. And Krishna's promise will protect me and insulate me and absolve. Krishna will take care. Our own founder Acharya took shelter of this verse and lived this principle, as I mentioned in class. So we should follow Prabhupada. We should follow Prabhupada's teachings and his example. Take shelter of Krishna. There are six symptoms of surrender. There are six symptoms of surrender, and one of them is to depend fully on Krishna. So if we're depending fully on Krishna, then we advance in Krishna consciousness. But if we actually think and we believe that we have to do these duties, that means we're not surrendering to Krishna. That means we don't have faith in Krishna. That's the proof of it. Oh, but Maharaj, I have this duty and that duty. No, I'm the eldest son. I have to do this and that. That's unfortunate because you don't have faith in Krishna. You're a complete kanishta. Kanishta, no faith, no steadiness. So devotee means, what does it mean to be a devotee? Sarva dharman vrittaja mam ekam sharanam braja. Sharanam, take shelter of Krishna. He will take care of everything. In such amazing ways. I can't believe how... I'm a 10 different astrologers, so my mother and father should have been dead. But somehow, Krishna's even keeping will keep your mother and father living. He'll not only maintain them, but he'll extend their lifespan so they can get more mercy. So this is, Krishna's definitely maintaining. If you're supposed to die at 74, Krishna will make you live to be 100 if he wants to squeeze out a few more years from you. Or you're supposed to die at 74, Krishna might say, okay, you've been so serious, you've attained perfection at 49, okay, come back. I can't bear the separation from you. I'm not going to keep you any longer. So Krishna is doing everything. Let us realize the philosophy. Let us try to realize the philosophy by acting according to the teachings of the Shastra. Savatmanaya sharanam sharanyam gato mukundam parivrityakartum. Such a beautiful verse. It's such an important verse. It's a four-page purport in the 11th canto to this verse. Prabhupada quotes in Bhagavad Gita, many, many places this verse is quoted. Devarshi bhutata nanim pritinam. Na kinkara nayanam vini charajan. Four-page purport explaining. This is a very, very, very crucial and important point of Krishna consciousness. Because this is the crux. This is the crux. Because this is the first step of Krishna consciousness is Shraddha. Faith. So Shraddha will only grow when one realizes these basic foundational principles of Krishna consciousness. Of these six principles of surrender have to be realized on the platform of Shraddha in order to come to Sarasanga and in Bhajana Kriya. For Bhajana Kriya, for our Bhajan to develop and to perfect itself, we have to have very much deep realization of this verse of depending absolutely on Krishna. And having faith in Krishna. Krishna will take care. Krishna is taking care of us. We are not the doer. This is ahankara. This is ahankara. What is the biggest, the densest, thickest covering of the universe? The earth covering is there, but 10 times thicker than the earth covering is the water covering. 10 times thicker than the water covering is the fire covering. Earth, water, fire, then air. Then the final covering of the universe, the final covering of the material universe, which is 10,000s of times thicker than the earth covering, is ahankara. False ego. I am the doer. I am the maintainer. I am the controller. I am the provider. This is ahankara. So how much we have to cross? How many layers we have to cross to go to the spiritual world? So let us begin by acting as a devotee, taking shelter of Mukunda and Guru. That is our only duty, one and only duty. There's no second duty. If you propose a second duty, you're an agent of Maya.
Your proposal is a Maya resolution. It's a resolution coming from the floor of Maya. You should cut down those resolutions by surrendering to Guru and Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.